Okay, we're going to leave this off of mute this evening so that everybody will have an opportunity to participate. If you've got any noise in the background, would you just press star 6? That will mute your individual telephone. I can hear some noise, so if you could do that, that would be great. And then if you want to share tonight and you're on a mute, just press star 6, come off of mute. You'll know that I can hear you by just saying, Dave, Dave, Dave. And then I'll be able to respond to you. If I'm not responding, it's because I'm not hearing you. So let's go ahead, everybody, press star 6, and let's mute out the noise in the background. We have one more. Sounds like I've got a television going in the background. If someone could press star 6, that would be most helpful. Thank you so very much. I'd like you to open up your assessments. I'd like you to open up your assessment. Ramona was just asking me to make sure that we have this recording, and I assured her that it is. I want you to go to your assessment reports in the bottom right-hand side for just a moment. In this bottom right-hand side, mental creation, this is where we have thought processes about how we would like our life to be, or what is driving us and or motivating us. Do we want everything to be perfect? Do we create expectations? Are we driven by obligation? Are we overwhelmed by everything that needs to be done? This is just stuff that exists in our own mind. We haven't started doing the work yet. We're just thinking about what it's going to be like to create our life. This is internally. This is our life. This isn't a business out there, unless the business is part of our life. This is our life. We're going to talk today about the next section up from this. It's called Joy in the Journey. Joy in the Journey measures, okay, so we step into tangible reality. Just touch the desk around you. Just feel this desk and say, okay, this is my tangible reality. This is where I'm existing. This is my house, my cars, how do I feel about each one of these things? My career path, my relationships, my bank accounts. How do I feel about being in this space? Do I enjoy this? Or do I find it rewarding? Where are my thoughts focused when I'm here in this tangible world? This is where joy in the journey occurs or does not occur. And quite often, depending on where we spent our time when we were in mental creation. If we spent our time in fantasy, and now we're stepping into reality, and if reality doesn't stack up, and it almost always never stacks up, we're dealing with some physiological reactions that are going on in our body. We're feeling cortisol surges, kind of an anxious feeling. We might have part of our memory center shut down, our empathy, our practical judgment. We might be catastrophizing, angry, frustrated over what's happening. That's a possibility if we've engaged in fantasy. If we've engaged in perfectionism, no matter what I do, it's never good enough, the unrelenting, unyielding pursuit of the unachievable, there's no way this is going to show up perfect because it's just not. I mean, this is our mortal existence. It's filled with flaws. And it's never going to stack up, and we can get really frustrated. What we want to do first tonight is go through these 6 measurements and join the journey. So if you don't have your assessment with you, I'll give you the name. Just make some notes wherever you are. You can go back and check your assessment when you're able to get to it. Or if you've got your computer and you're online, go ahead and go to ogmandino.com and take a look at your assessment. Let's go through these 6 measurements because we want to know where our thought processes will support us in finding this joy, and where it is sabotaging our effort. Og wrote in the end of scroll number 9, which is kind of the last of the meat. We go into scroll 10, which is about seeking guidance. But this is Act Now. He says at the end of Act Now, I hunger for success, I thirst for happiness and peace of mind. That's joy in the journey. Lest I act, I will perish in a life of failure, misery, and sleepless nights. This is a beautiful phrase because it helps us understand what's happening with these 6 measurements. Are we finding success, happiness, and peace of mind in our tangible reality? Or are we experiencing this distressing feeling? This sleepless nights, this angst and anger. Now, there are things that can happen in this section of our reality, this tangible reality we live in, that are part of life, but are frustrating. And we can also have things happening here that are really only bad in comparison to where we would like to be. So let's explore these six measurements and see if we are having any angst, any of that failure and sleepless night kind of a feeling. So let's start with the very first measurement. It's entitled grateful. Grateful. Now, it's difficult to find a name. These names are not scientifically validated. The mathematics behind them have been. The mathematics behind this equation, this statement, grateful, this characteristic grateful, is asking, can I see, when I step into my tangible world, can I see the intrinsic value, this deep, rich value in everything that's around me? If this measurement starts to turn orange, and it often does, often turns orange and red, we're seeing that pressure being put on this measurement. It's not saying you're not grateful. What it is saying is that this tangible reality is showing up different than you had imagined it would. We may be holding tangible reality hostage to an expectation. We may hear dialogue like, you know, by now I thought I would be further ahead. By now I thought it would be easier. See if you can hear. If your measurement is orange or red, just pause with me for a moment and go, wow, what happens every time life shows up differently than I would like it to? You know, it takes more to pay the bills in the month than I have in my checking account. Or that deal I was going to close didn't close, or that person I had in my organization dropped out, or they're cutting back at work, or health benefits have been trimmed back, or I'm feeling older, or I'm getting heavier, or whatever it might be. What is our initial? Now, we can step back from this thought. We can practice metacognition. We can sit in the observer's chair. We can step back from it and choose to override it. What this is measuring, what is the initial thought process? So just write that down. What is my initial thought process? When my teenager does something, it's like I was talking to a client. We got lots of noise going on in the background. If you could just press *6 if you've got any noise going on, deeply appreciate that. I was talking to a client about a parent. And the question was, how long have they been acting this way? And the answer was, for my entire lifetime, which was 40-something years. And isn't it interesting that we want somebody to show up differently than they're showing up, but they've shown up this way forever, and we still get frustrated every time they do. That's an expectation. I've got an expectation of how I'd like it to be, and I continually choose to be frustrated when it shows up differently. See if you can catch yourself. If there's anything in your life like that. So that's the first measurement, grateful. This is the measurement that's most commonly out of balance. And it's a tough one to step back from. Because if we're getting hit hard. Now, one last thing on this measurement. There are times that things happen in our life that are not based on an unrealistic expectation. They're just happening. We've seen a lot of that in the last 4 years with the financial crisis we've been going through as a nation. That there are some things that are happening, even for people who didn't have any debt, who are living very conservatively, have been pared back so far that even they are having challenges. That's an interesting piece. Or we get to retirement and we get diagnosed with cancer the next week. Or my friend who had heart surgery finds out as he's recovering that he's got Parkinson's disease. We'll talk about how to address those issues in just a few moments. write down what's going on in your life, in the tangible reality of your life, what's happening. Second measurement. This measurement is called persistent. That's the name I gave it. Mathematically, we're taking a look at our life here, and we're doing things. I'm in the process of doing something. What kind of thought processes show up when I'm doing this? Am I enjoying doing it? Am I finding fulfillment? Is this speaking to me? Is this ringing my bell? When we see this measurement start to turn orange, and sometimes red, what we know is I'm shifting thought processes from enjoying doing the work to something else. And the most common things that we start thinking about, there's two of them. We've got a conversation going on in the background. If you could press *6, I would really appreciate it. Thank you so much. Two things that can happen. One, our thoughts start to shift to, okay, I'm doing this, but I'm doing it now for another reason. I'm in need of recognition. I'm in need of recognition. Either I do it so I see, have people see me do it, and how well I do it, so they'll acknowledge me. That's one. Number two, the most common, is I start doing it, and I need to make money. It becomes a money-driven thought process. It's not about enjoying the doing of it. It's getting it done so I can generate money from having done it. Now, there's nothing wrong with money. Money's a beautiful thing. It buys all kinds of opportunities. The challenge becomes that when we're doing something just to make money, we are not going to be focused on the needs of another person, solving their problems, which in today's world really is a requirement of selling, convincing, persuading, being focused on the needs of the other person. We show up in need of, I need to sell this to make money. There's an energy that comes with that that will frustrate the process. And the more we focus on money, interestingly enough, the more it runs away from us. The more it runs away from us. Now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't get paid for what we do. Absolutely. And we have houses and cars and families and food. All those things are real.
At the time, I was working with Madeline. And my assessment phone.
I've gone ahead and put the phone on a basic mute. And I'll invite you that if you'd like to share to press *6 and come off a mute and just call out Dave, and that we'll be able to keep the recording clean. Thank you. So we have this measurement persistent. So just ask yourself, what is the current condition of my finances? What is the current condition of my finances? Do I need to generate more money? What is happening when I begin to focus on making more money versus on solving the needs of other people? What starts to happen? Just think about this. And would it serve me to go back to and do my work for a higher purpose, which is I'm looking for what that person needs, and I'm meeting their need, and I find enough people who need that, and I meet their needs, I meet my own, I make the sales, I get the commissions, for an example. Would it serve us to make that shift? Third measurement, effective. This is a fascinating measurement. The characteristic effective says, am I going to use my time wisely? I'm in this tangible reality, and now it's all about structure and scheduling and using my time. Am I going to use it wisely and allocate my time appropriately based on how much time there is in the day and how much energy I have? That would be a wonderful thing to do. Am I going to be focused on the next thing that needs to be done to drive my vision forward, my dreams forward? Well, if we have been engaged in fantasy, and then we step into reality, and reality's showing up differently, here's the conflict. We can create in our mind in a nanosecond almost anything. in the time that it takes to shower in the morning, we can truly, we can in our mind go to the Caribbean, go scuba diving, you know, get in a Learjet and go to France and have some wine and cheese, and get in our Learjet and fly to New York and watch a play, go to California and lay on the beach, all in the time it takes to shower. In our mind, there is no time. It's all a gestalt. It's all before us. It's just nanoseconds. Whatever we see in our mind is. And we know that in this tangible reality, this is called linear time. Tick, 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 tick. In this existence, everything must be created line upon line, line upon line, line upon line. We mix it up. We put it in the pan. We put it in the oven. We bake it. We take it out. We cut it into pieces, and we eat it. In our mind, we don't have to do any of that preparation. Our clothes are always clean. The food is always prepared. The laundry is always done. Babies don't poop. You know, it's just everything runs smoothly. Nobody pulls out in front of us. We rarely are thinking through those things in a fantasy. So we step into reality, and the conflict is that in our mind, nanosecond, in reality, linear time. Now, the mind has a conflict. How can I create right now what already exists in my mind? How can I create right now in this tangible existence that which I've already seen in my mind? It's impossible. What ends up happening is we run around like a chicken with our head cut off in frenetic, non-goal-directed activity. It's busy, 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 multitasking multiple things, always busy, always exhausted, and never really moving our life forward because it's impossible to do. So if you find yourself in that kind of busy craziness in this physical existence, there's a very good chance that your mind has already seen something much more magnificent. And it's just frustrating because it doesn't know how to create it. That's the primary cause of an orange effective measurement. Next one's realistic. Fourth measurement, realistic. Now it's saying, okay, I'm standing on this rim of a canyon, and I can see the rim over there. Matter of fact, in my mind, I've visited it many times. I would rather be over there. Over there is where the house exists that I, in my mind, that I want to live in, the cars, the bank accounts, etc. But I'm over here in tangible reality. I'm here. I want to be there. And I don't know how to build a bridge. Just don't know how to build the bridge. Creates an angst, a frustration because of this chasm between where I am and where I'd like to be. The more magnificent that is, the wider this chasm, the more painful it is. Goes to orange, then it goes to red. What is the difference between where you are today and where your mind would like you to be? Just take a look at that. See how many times you wake up in the morning and say, I just want to do this. I don't want to make this happen. And most of the time we're trying to make it happen as fast as our mind made it happen. It's just telling us, we have not settled into this place called the now. This is not where we're living. We are living in our mind and bringing that expectation into the now and again holding it hostage. When we went into physical creation a few weeks ago, we talked about power sessions, staying present in the now. That's why we had that exercise. This is some of the evidence that we may not be living in the now. Next one is diligent. I'm in the now. And things aren't happening as quickly as I would like. Whose fault is it? Am I willing to take full responsibility for what I'm doing or not doing to make this happen? Or am I going to blame other things? Blame other things. That's one option. I'll blame my finances. I'll blame my lack of education. I'll blame my weight. I'll blame all these things we'll blame. The other side of it one this might be. If you've got an orange or a red diligent, just ask yourself, am I more likely to go, if I just had? So we're blaming. Or am I more likely to allow things to happen? Is there chaos in a relationship? Is there chaos in a business? Are there things that I just don't want to deal with? I don't want to deal with that. You can feel that kind of energy. You just know why this one is orange. Now, we'll all have those feelings occasionally. But when it starts to turn orange, we have a pattern. We have a neural pathway. We have a thought process and a healthy habit of thinking. Last measurement. Vigilant. If you've got this measurement orange, and many people do, just ask yourself this question. Have I ever had this kind of a conversation with myself where I've said, wow, there's something inside of me that tells me I'm meant to do something important. I just know it. I can feel it. Just don't know what it is. Quite often we have that kind of a feeling. We'll end up moving across the world to a foreign country to help starving children. And we just bring all of this baggage with us. And it won't be long and we don't like that either. You'll discover, and we'll start here tonight, what we're doing with our life. Number one, it's less important what you do than it is how you do it. The joy that we seek isn't always in remuneration and the money. Money's important. It's a fulfillment. It's a sense of accomplishment. We matter. What we do matters. We get tremendous joy when we serve another person. I'm going to ask you tonight that for the next period of time, you fall back in love with your job, whatever it is. Some on the phone have been working on home-based businesses, and I absolutely want to keep doing that. But sometimes it's, I want to get rid of my W-2 job. I want to get rid of my job. I want to have more freedom and time freedom. And quite often the things we don't like here will end up being the very things we won't like there, should we have that opportunity. We want to fall back in love with our job. If you have aspiration to do something in addition to the job, I want to share that first. And then if it's your career path that you want to take, then we'll talk about that second. So enjoy the journey. I wake up tomorrow morning and I consciously choose to have the best day of my life. Now, I've listened to some employees in a lunchroom of a company. And sometimes you want to slit your wrist. It's so depressing. You'd never want to work there. It's negative. When we fall back in love with what we do, we come prepared to lift and build and serve. We bring all of us to the workplace. All of us, our real self. We take on the task, and we don't do it because we're paid a certain amount. And this flies right in the face of some very core principles in our current society where everybody just wants to be given this entitlement. No, we're saying, no. I come and I do my very best regardless of what they pay me or the recognition that I get for doing it. Why would I ever do that? If I'm not appreciated and I'm not paid for my worth, why would I bring my very best to the workplace? I want to give you a couple reasons. Number one, you're using the workplace as a laboratory to become an intentional creator. You're learning how to create. Two, when you show up that way, you're spending the day with your true self. Your true self. There is something exhilarating. Just like when we've been procrastinating, you know, and we, we finally jump in to do something, and we go, wow, that wasn't so hard. Wow, that wasn't, why did I wait so long? Wow, we feel so good. We feel good because we just met our natural genius. We're going to want to make sure that in everything we do, and if we have a day job, bring you, all of you, to the workplace and spend the day with you. It takes more energy to play half speed than it does to play all out. The chance of injury at every level, from physical activity to mental activity, is less when we're going full speed. You take a football player and have him try to hold back and cower and not hit completely, he'll get hurt. He'll get hurt. He'll get seriously injured. The player that is going all out is most likely not going to get injured. Not as likely. Same in our workplace. When we show up completely, us, and we spend the day with ourselves, going full speed, just the fact we're spending that time with ourselves, there is a sense of fulfillment, not for the benefit of the employer. Oh, they'll get it. But for you. This is for you. This is an internal measurement. This is joy in your journey. No matter what else is going on out there, join your journey. Now, if you have that home-based business, you come home at 6 o'clock, and if you've been holding back all day, your body's been releasing molecules that have been exhausting your cells for a day. No matter what your physical activity is, emotionally exhausting your cells. You come home at 6 o'clock and you see that chair and you say, wow, I'm just going to sit here for a minute. Turn on TV and it's one show, then another, then another, then another. And pretty soon it's time to go to bed. You know, I'm going to do that tomorrow. And what we discover is tomorrow never comes. Because at 6 o'clock tomorrow night, it's still tonight. It's always tonight at 6 o'clock p.m. It's always tonight. It's today. Now, if we spent the day with ourselves, fully engaged, we come home, we're exhilarated. We may sit down in that chair and rest for a moment, but we have energy left and to spare to dive in and take on our life. If you've got a home-based business and you want to build it, you're going to want to fall back in love with your job. Back in love with your job. Now, part of falling back in love with your job will be practicing the principles that we'll be going through in just a couple weeks when we get back into the art of connection, listening to people, stepping into their world, taking down their walls of resistance. Any job, anywhere. Scott Irwin says, I work with the roughest, toughest cowboys in West Texas. I sell pipe, for heaven's sake. And he uses these principles of intrinsic validation. And made and saved millions of dollars, he said. No matter what we do, these principles can make the day exciting to make those kinds of connections with human beings. It is our nature to be lifted and built, to feel a sense of accomplishment and purpose and meaning when we're doing that. So fall back in love with your work. Now, if this is your career path, your day job is your career path, and you show up fully engaged. I can tell you right now, one of our great challenges in American business is we're not. And the primary reason we're not is not employee-driven, it's management-driven. When management manages by fear and intimidation, the very first thing that gets shut off is a person's desire. They're in a protection mode. They show up, they go through their paces, they do what they need to do, and then they go home to their life. They leave their life to go to work. They come home to their life. When management says, come, bring your ideas. I want to know what you would do. You've got life experience. I'm going to empower you to make this decision. Make a good one. All of that starts to happen and we feel value. All of a sudden, we release a reserve of cooperation and productivity. On average, 40% plus of a person's cooperation. There are very few businesses releasing this. It's part of the challenge in our nation. I was just writing a letter to a CEO of a major corporation I met with last Friday on this very, very topic. This is so important for us to know, that we get to show up, and even when management is not providing that kind of leadership that's intrinsically validating, we make the conscious decision to show up anyway. I can promise you this, it won't go unnoticed. This is what they want. For the most part, they just don't know how to get it out of you. But when you freely give it, it's noticed. And if it's not, then you need to go someplace where it can be. But first, you want to give it so that you can be noticed. Not to do it to be noticed. You do it and are noticed. The cream always rises to the top. Always to the top. I could share some stories about that tonight. Some of my favorites. One of the wealthiest people I know, who started out as a copywriter in a little office and did the very best he could, and the very best he could, he ended up owning the company. They sold it for tens and tens and tens of millions of dollars. Started as a copywriter without a college degree. Never got it. Never finished. If we show up, we will rise. Cream always does. So it doesn't matter what we do as much as it matters how we do it. Let's fall back in love with our job. If it's a home-based business, we'll come home exhilarated. If it's a career, we will rise. It's an important piece of finding joy in the journey. Here's a second piece. In our nation, not as much in the world as a whole, but in our nation, we want things to be easy. The secret is we want to gain ability, ever-increasing levels of ability, to do things with ever-increasing levels of ease. That's how we want it to be easier than it was, because we have more ability to do it. That's the kind of ease we want to seek. The kind of ease where we have no more pain, no more frustration, no more debt, no more discouragement. That doesn't exist on this planet. And that, when that is our mindset, one thing is absolutely guaranteed. Life will continue to show up differently. And it will be a source of great frustration and pain. One of my favorite books, I just pulled it off my library shelf. It's called The Prophet, Khalil Gibran. I think it's page 27. Let's take a peek here. 29. Then a woman said, "Speak to us of joy and sorrow." And he answered, "Your joy is your sorrow unmasked. The self-same well from which your laughter rises was oft-time filled with your tears. And how else can it be? The deeper that sorrow carves into your being, the more joy you can contain. It's not the cup that holds your wine, the very cup that was burned in the potter's oven. It's not the lute, this little flute, he called it a lute, but it's like a little flute, that soothes your spirit. Music that soothes your spirit, the very wood that was hallowed with knives. When you are joyous, look deep into your heart, and you shall find it is only that which has given you sorrow that is now giving you joy. When you are sorrowful, look again in your heart. You shall see that in truth you are weeping for that which has been your delight." Goes on. Some of you say, joy is greater than sorrow. And others, no, sorrow is greater. But I say unto you, they are inseparable. This is an incredibly beautiful piece of poetry to explain an absolute true principle, that joy and sorrow are inseparable. Together they come. And when one sits alone with you at your board, which is your table, remember the other is asleep upon your bed. When that one goes takes a nap and the other one comes and sits at your table. That's how it works. Verily you are suspended like scales between your sorrow and your joy. Only when you're empty are you at standstill and balanced. That means numb. When you're empty. When the treasure keeper lifts you up to weigh his gold and his silver, needs must your joy or your sorrow rise or fall. This is a powerful principle, that sorrow is part of the journey. Dang it. When we're always looking for it to be easy, every time something sorrowful happens, we feel irritated, frustrated, angry, maybe. What would happen if we looked at sorrow differently? What would happen if we paused and said, what could I learn from this? What could I learn from this? How could I show up in this? In a way that would inspire others to show up differently in their challenges. Third, how could this experience prepare me, even uniquely prepare me, to better serve other people, which will actually allow me to become wildly successful sooner, quicker? What I just described to you is the definition of agape love, a heightened level of awareness. It's seeing things for what they are. Og talked about this in scroll number 2. Now, I studied the scrolls for 14 years, taught this principle, and then found that it was in the scroll. There was a paragraph I just never quite got until not that long ago. I'm reading along in scroll 2 one day, and he said, you know, this is the greatest secret of success in all ventures, speaking of love, agape love, that if I'll master this, I'll be more no more than a peddler in the marketplace if I don't master it. But with it, I can open the hearts of men. I can melt all hearts like the sun is raised off in the coldest clay. I can use it as my greatest weapon. Wow, this sounds exciting. Love can do all of this? And then he says, and how will I do this? You know, later on, he says, and how will I speak? Well, I'll look for the good in people. How will I act? I'll find their qualities. And I'll build bridges to them. And then he says, and how will I react to the actions of others? And how will I confront with everyone who I meet? And how will I love myself? But here's the question. How will I do this? How will I use it as a weapon? How will I use it as ability to open up hearts? How will I do this? And then he writes the following. It's like, if you haven't been through this, you will not get it. It's so well hidden. Betty told us that Og wrote these scrolls all in one night, all of them. And this is the one she made him change because it was too complicated. He made it simple, but in the simplicity, he buried some very key principles that can only be learned if we live them. He says, henceforth, I will look on all things with love. Agape love, this heightened level of awareness. And I will be born again. So sorrow shows up. Joy shows up. Sorrow shows up. Joy shows up. I will love both. I'll love both. And then he gives it to us poetically. I will love the sun, for it warms my bones. There's the joy. I will love the rain, for it cleanses my spirit. There's the sorrow. I will love the light, for it shows me the way. There's the joy. I will love the darkness, for it shows me the stars. The darkness, as the sunlight of success goes out, and we finally see that which is most important in our lives. The stars in our lives. We couldn't see them when the sunlight of success was shining. The sorrow helped us see the value of that priceless, priceless stars. I will welcome happiness, for it'll learn. large as my heart. Ooh, there's joy. I will acknowledge reward. Excuse me. Yet I will endure sadness, for it opens my soul. There's the sorrow. I will acknowledge my rewards, for they are my due. There's my joy. Yet I'll welcome obstacles, for they are my challenge. Og's telling us, how will I be able to step into a person's world, take down their walls of resistance, open their heart? How do I do that? I do that by learning to love joy and sorrow and being born anew with each one of them. Today I shed my old skin, which had too long suffered the bruises of failure and the wounds of mediocrity. Today I am born anew. And my birthplace is a vineyard where there's fruit for all. When I see my sorrow for what it truly is, it's a companion of joy. Life's going to undulate ups and downs and ups and downs. But each one of them I'm going to love. I'm going to love the moments of joy. I'm going to embrace and love the moments of sorrow, because they're the ones that teach me how to more effectively show up and serve another person. Those are my teacher. And if I wasn't taught, I wouldn't know. Sorrow is our teacher. So we're looking at joy in the journey. Really what we're saying, and Og is saying, the whether it's going the way we had hoped it would or not, we can find joy in this moment if we are focused on finding good in it, if we're focused on learning from it, and we're focused on using it to better understand what someone else might be experiencing when they're having that same sorrow. Joy and sorrow. Well, we have one more tonight, and then we'll be done. I did a video on this. You may have seen it on Facebook or for friends, or on YouTube, or on the Og Mandino Facebook channel, Facebook page. It's on owning our own clay. We're holding our clay. This is our clay. And we almost always want to be someone else, somewhere else, doing something different. We don't want this. We don't want this challenge that we're facing. Yet if we'll embrace our clay, we'll discover that challenge was perfectly designed to help us overcome a fear or a challenge that we've been putting off. It is our teacher. We say we want X. Well, what happens if we need to learn a lesson to be able to create X? And this is our teacher. Are we going to let it teach us? Are we going to resist it? Are we going to be frustrated by it? We want to take our clay, our circumstances, and own it. We don't get somebody else's clay. It's not an option. We can either embrace our clay, or we can spend our life in resistance and resentment and rebellion and frustration and even anger. Or we can embrace our clay. We're not giving up. We're getting started. We're going to take our clay, and we're going to begin the process of creating the most we can with our clay. That is the definition of gratitude. When we take what we have, and our focus isn't on what we don't have. It's not on what's missing. It's on what we can create with what we have. And the promise is always the same. When we take our clay and maximize it, we do everything we can with it, we are granted more clay. Wonderful true principle. Now, great challenge for tonight. Sometimes we want self-esteem to be a big warm blanket we can wrap around us and just feel good and safe. But self-improvement is not safe. We stretch and we grow. We get out of our comfort zone. We expand our horizons. And if we will make that decision this year, 2013, let us surrender to the process of stretching and growing and becoming all that we're meant to be, we will look back in January of 2014 with amazement. What's been created, what we have become because we willingly surrendered to the process. And one of the most difficult places to surrender is to what is. This is our tangible reality. It doesn't always have to be so. But we can't start the process of creating something different when we're in resistance to it. We can only build once we own it. May we choose to do so. Let us own our clay. Let us know that joy and sorrow are inseparable. We don't get either one of them for long periods of time. We get one, then we get the other. We get the other one, then we get the other. And it teaches us. It is our teacher. The sorrow is our teacher. Third, let us fall back in love with our jobs. Either so that we can come home energized to work on a new business, or so that we can maximize and learn and gain ability. My friend, who built the company from being a copywriter, every weekend he would learn a new skill. Every weekend. Now, we may not have time on a weekend to do that, but get the mentality of that. He started mastering every piece of that company till he became the expert in all of them. I could tell you the whole story one day. It won't be today. But he eventually did own the entire company. And he's in his 40s. I mean, this isn't an old man. Let us be the person as an employee who is maximizing everything that we have in terms of our ability. No doubt, no fear, no need for recognition or remuneration. Of course, we want to be paid for what we're doing. Be the cream that rises to the top for you. Not for them, for you. Then you're spending time with yourself. Then we're beginning this process of healing self-esteem. And that's where we're headed next week, healing self-esteem. If you have a copy of The Observer's Chair, that would be great. The Observer's Chair goes deeper into this than anything we have in our material. We have also quality number 6 in your intentional creation studio. You want to listen to that. You'll see some similar pieces out of that that ended up in the book, The Observer's Chair. If you haven't got that, pick it up. We'll get it shipped to you so you'll have it in time for next Tuesday night. The Observer's Chair is about healing self-esteem. Let's talk about what causes it. Let's talk about how to heal it. One of the great causes is the comparison game, owning our own clay, making that decision. We show up absolute, complete, and whole in the workplace, doing all we can do. We want to be able to meet ourselves, spend time with ourselves, present in the now. These are ways we heal self-esteem. So we're headed to that next. We'll take on self-esteem and how to heal. Now, I want to open this up for just a moment. We've got just a few minutes. If anybody's got a question or a comment tonight, press *6. Let me see if I can just take it off of mute just a moment. Okay, I've opened up the entire line to everybody. If you're privately on mute, you'll still need to press *6 to come off. Is there anybody's got a question or a comment this evening? Anything I can do to serve you?
Yes, Dave?
Yes.
Hi, it's Marjorie. Studio in which part of the creation studio do we go into again?
For Joy in the Journey, it's quality number 5.
Quality 5. Great. Thank you.
And in preparation for next week's self-esteem, we'll go into quality number 6.
Oh, next. That's the one I wanted.
That'll be next week. Yeah, that'll be quality
for
number 6, self-esteem.
So this week, so as we prepare for next week, we should study
quality. Go to that studio
6.
And listen to those pieces.
Yeah.
And for those of you who've been in the studio, you know that you can click on quality 6. It'll open up a whole entire table of contents for that section. Just take one piece at a time. I would start with the affirmations about self-esteem. You know, I am whole and complete. You know, I embrace my own uniqueness and pricelessness. I am confident. I own my own clay. You'll start to feel these pieces in the I am affirmations. They're very powerful affirmations. And what's fun, Marjorie, is as you're reading them, you'll hear some of your thought process say, no, I'm not, or not yesterday I wasn't. You'll start to hear them as you say these I am affirmations. So start there, and then go through each one of these pieces in self-esteem. That'd be great. Thank you.
Okay. Okay,
any
great.
Any questions,
and,
Marjorie?
Yes, and then for the scrolls then, do you have any recommendations?
The scroll for next week, we're going to start reading scroll number 4, I Am Nature's Greatest Miracle.
Mm-hmm, good.
That's a powerful scroll. That's a wonderful scroll. And if you could, with bring your assessment with you, we'll be in the top right-hand section called self-esteem. We'll go through those measurements first. And, you know, as we go through those assessments, if you've got questions about your measurements, or some of you I know have gone through coaching classes and you've retaken an assessment, this is a great time when I'm going through those assessment measurements to come off of mute and to say, Dave, could you tell me a little bit more about this measurement and what could be creating that one? Let me help answer your questions about your new assessment as we're going through each one of these qualities. Good. Any other questions or thoughts or comments tonight?
Actually, Dave, that it's still Marjorie. Marjorie brings another question then. Do you suggest that we redo our assessment?
How long ago was your last assessment, Marjorie?
It was. I'm just looking. I think it was in June.
I would, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
It's been about 6 months. That's
mm-hmm.
a good time frame.
Okay.
Now, Marjorie, I'd recommend that, and I'll say this for all of you, if you're going to retake your assessment, I'm going to give you slightly different instructions and for a real purpose. Quite often our awareness, our ability to step back and override a thought process, is higher than our current level of thinking. In other words, we still have the habit. It still shows up, but we can step back from it. To identify where those pieces are, when you go back to take the assessment this time, be very conscious. Don't try to take it to say, what would Dave say, or what should I say? What you want to do is rank those words or phrases based on how you would rank them in a perfect world. If your relationships were great, and your career was wonderful, and your finances were wonderful, your life was right where you want it to be, how would you rank these words or phrases? What that'll help us do is to start identify those pieces that are blind spots. And blind spots are ones that, even though we have metacognition and can step back from, maybe we're not stepping back from. The others, we can step back from. They'll show up, but we can step back from them. We're actually able to do that when we took the assessment. What is showing up that still got some challenges? You'll want to know that. It'll also give you an idea of the areas in which you're improving. Because on the assessment report, you can toggle back and forth between two different assessments. You can click on one, look at it, click on the other one, and look at it. That'll give you some insights. So rank them based on what I'd do in a perfect world. Where would this belong? Does that help, Marjorie? Is that okay?
Yeah, that's great. Thank you.
Thank you. That'll be fun. You'll be back next week with a new assessment. We'll take on self-esteem. And then once we've taken on self-esteem, we'll go right back to connection with people. And we'll go right back through these pieces. And you'll know exactly what to work on and what strengths to maximize.
Beautiful.
Thank you. Anyone else this evening? If you're talking, you're on mute. So just press star 6.
Dave?
Yes.
My question is, where can we go to hear these recordings again? I have not found that spot.
Oh, I'll be happy to give that to you. What you do is go to your Intentional Creation Studio. Have you been to the studio, where all your tools are?
Yes.
Okay. When you go to your Intentional Creation Studio, on the left-hand side, it says 10 scrolls in quality 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, then Personal Journal. The one right below that says Group Coaching. Click on Group Coaching, and the very first entry will be next week's, the number for next week's phone call. And right below that will be this week's recording. It'll be up first thing in the morning. That's the first thing that Nikki does when she comes in. So by 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, this call will be in your Group Coaching studio, in your studio under Group Coaching. And what's fun is you're going to be here for the next, you know, if you're just coming here, you might be here for like as many as 42 or 45 weeks. When you get done, there'll be 45 weeks of recordings in there. You miss when you can go back and listen to it. They're identified by quality, so we'll go through those qualities, oh, probably six times in those 42, 45 weeks, and each time a little differently. And that's a library you get to come back if you say, gosh, my area is joy in the journey. I'm really struggling with that. So I'll listen to this one, then I'll come down, I'll listen to the next one, I'll come down, listen to the next one. It just gets richer and richer and richer as we go through the process to help you take on those areas where you want to do some improving. A great question. Everybody got that?
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome. And those of you who are in groups, coaching groups, those recordings are on a different place, and those are going to be available to you for the next year or two. I mean, those are yours for your group. We don't put those in a place where other people can listen to them. These sessions are available to everybody who's ever coached with us, who can come to the Tuesday night calls. The others will remain private because those were private group discussions. Got any other questions? Great to hear your voices tonight. Thank you. Last thing tonight, and then we're going to wrap up. This is 2013. We want these Tuesday night calls to be extremely valuable. This is really a part of your coaching program. We want you to be able to come here, go through the assessment piece, the qualities. In an hour, we can't cover everything in the world, but I will cover what I feel impressed is important tonight, and then you come with your questions. And let's make this as powerful as we can. And any time you ask a question, just know you're serving other people on the call. And number two, if you ever have a suggestion for how I could approach something in a call, or you've got a question, like say self-esteem, this next Tuesday night, drop me an email, dave@augmandino.com. Say, would you please cover the following? This is something that's on my mind. I come prepared quite often based on the coaching sessions I've had the last week on this topic with someone. Something that's timely. This job issue, I really pushed hard tonight for those of you who could hear it, because it's a big challenge right now. It's a big challenge. People just hate what they're doing. And it's costing them, not just their employer, it's costing them peace of mind and joy in the journey. If there's an area of self-esteem as you're doing your study, Dave, could you please go a little deeper into this piece? I don't quite understand this. Or I'm having a challenge with, could you share that? Please let me know those. That could make our session so much richer by going to some very specific, very real circumstances present amongst those that are in the group. So please do that. Okay, one last time. Any other questions before we wrap up tonight? Okay, well, let's have a great 2013. I look forward to these calls every Tuesday night, and I hope you will too. Let's come prepared to take on your lives and make this the very best year of your life. Thanks, everyone, and good night.
Thanks, Dave, another great call tonight.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Marilyn?